gospel lesson this morning, the scripture is chosen from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. A charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured? Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learn it, and how from an infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, good works, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is the most important tool in our spiritual growth? Any ideas, any thoughts? What do you believe is the most important thing? The Bible. Someone just said it out loud, right? The Bible. The Bible. The Bible is God's word speaking to us. The word of God speaking to us. Old Testaments and New Testaments. And we have not just one book, but we have 66 books in this Bible. So the Bible is the most important tool in our spiritual growth. Therefore, men and women, it is important for Christians, for believers, to be in the Word of God. I believe that you and I know the Bible. I believe that you and I have read the Bible. But if you're like me, living in the world today in 2016, when we get up in the morning from our Monday to the next Monday, it is very unlikely that the Word of God is something that rings in our minds and hearts, and the first thing we think about, and that the Word of God comes alive somehow, and then we just utter those words and decided to live our day according to the Word of God. It's difficult to do that. Why? Because we have so many distractions. We have so many voices in our world today that call our name, that call our hearts and our minds, that draw our attention. And so, though we know it is important, though we know it is good, from time to time, like what Paul did to Timothy, we have to be reminded, we have to be encouraged by the Word of God, by godly people, but the very importance of knowing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and believing in His Holy Word. But you know, I get it. It's difficult. It's challenging. And yeah, we know it's good, and it's hard to really, really get into the Word of God and say, yeah, this is so important for my spiritual work, and I'm going to go into it. But since, because of those many distractions, we're like, well, I'm going to do it sometimes. Or I'm going to do it later on. Or perhaps, well, when I feel like it. It reminds me of a story once told about way, way eons and eons, many years ago, the President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt, was tired of this putting this game face about being president and greeting people and smiling and showing a friendliness side of the president. So one day at hosting a guest dinner at the president's place, the White House, he invited guests and he said, you know what? In his mind, he said, I'm tired of doing this, putting this game face on. So I'm going to test the guests, see if they are really, really listening to my words. So you know what he did? He greeted every guest that came through the door and say, nice to see you. I just killed my grandmother. And everyone walked by and say, oh, that's lovely, Mr. President. So nice to see you. True story. One by one, just going along and shaking hands and doing polite words, saying polite words. Except towards the very end, one diplomat would say to him and look in the eyes of Roosevelt and say, I'm sure she had it coming. So someone is listening, right? Someone is paying attention. I believe that someone for us men and women is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter from prison, where he was, in fact, it's the very last part of his life that he is going to be killed for his faith, his work in the Lord, the work of the gospel. So he wrote this message to Timothy, encouraging him. First of all, he's telling people, Timothy and the believers, that the last days are coming. Paul was talking about these days, the difficult days, and that, in fact, so many believers translated for throughout years, that this last day, Paul wrote, was, well, it's going to be the end of the world with Christ's return. You know, if we bring about this topic, especially today, and talk about it, it's somewhat an embarrassing topic for Christians, if we have to admit it, right? Talking about the last days. Because a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, and a lot of leaders have misled or misused this word. And it became a mockery for the rest of the world to say, oh, those Christians once again talking about the last days. And we have some examples about those people who promoted the last day, whether it be for financial gain or whether it be selling Christian products or books or videos. Or I mean, it's not that they're not important, but we've been known by the world that what we say about these last days, we had been wrong about one particular, the timing, the exact date. Because Scripture said, no one knows, right? No one knows the exact date. But Paul encouraged and reminded Timothy that the last day indeed are coming. Jesus had come. Jesus had lived. Jesus had died. Jesus had rose again. And he went to heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that he promised that he would come again. That is, that's so certain that Paul believed that the Christian church are now living in those last days, period. And in that very context, it's so appropriate for Paul to write this to Timothy and saying, the last days are coming. In his very context, it's so true because that he now Christians are being persecuted left and right. Paul was about to face his own death. And he knew that that would not end. So he encouraged Timothy to how to be saved, how to be guarded himself and the church that he served. Because Timothy was a young pastor. Paul encouraged Timothy to stay true to the Word of God. Men and women, if we look at the world, we can say that we too are living in the last days. Sure, our type of sufferings or persecutions may not be the same as those brothers and sisters in the faith, in Christian family, those who give their lives and day by day basis for what they believe in. But my friends, to stand up for God, to stand up for God's truth today, is a challenging task in the world that has been influenced, overwhelmingly so, by the world's idea. Whatever that may be, whether it be success, fame, materialism, oh, you name them all. Ideas, philosophy. But you see, precisely that's why Paul knows that difficult days are coming for Christians. But the good news is that God loves you. God loves all of you so much, all of us so much, that he didn't leave us alone. And he gave us the power to live for him with joy, with hope, with peace, and with strength. And that power, my friends, it's not found in anywhere else, but in where? In the Word of God. In his holy word. Anything we need to know about God, anything we need to know about the truth, anything we need to know about how to live our lives in God, all of them are written in the Word of God. It's available in this book, and it's given to us, the Word of God, the living Word of God. So how did Paul encourage Timothy to live in these last days? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting out with, I don't know if we have this on the whole screen, but if you have your Bible, please open your Bible to Timothy chapter 3 and follow along. 2 Timothy chapter 3. First, Paul told Timothy, he said, look, the last days are coming and difficult days are ahead. It's almost like St. Paul said, well, be joyful. Things could get better. Do you hear that term? I thought that was kind of confusing, right? Be joyful. Things could get worse. Or things could get worse. That would be more of the confusing term. Be joyful. Things could be worse. I heard of this story that one man literally took this advice and he did it. The minute he was so joyful, things got worse. Because it said, be joyful. Things could get worse. It sounded like what Paul is saying to Timothy. Be joyful. Have strength in the Lord. And yet, here's what Paul said to Timothy. But, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. And he gives a list of about 19 of them in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Of ungodliness and rebellious acts towards God. And what are they? He said, people will be lover of themselves, lover of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul said to Timothy, because the last day are coming, avoid those people. Wow. Sounded like our time, isn't it? And whenever I hear people say, well, the Bible is outdated. It's an old book. It was written 2,000 years ago. And so, well, it was written by man. So, you know, it's just man's idea. Well, there are many in the world and many people that said and still saying it today. In fact, sadly so, you could say all those things and still could be elected today in the world as church leaders and sometimes even church pastor. My friends, Paul said to Timothy, avoid those people. Instead, I'm skipping a little bit to our verse 10 today. Instead, what you should do, Timothy, and Christians, believers, is that follow godly people. Follow people, those follow Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. And how would you know that they are following Jesus Christ? And here's the opposite of what the list that Paul gave to Timothy early on. Here he said, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patient love, endurance. And Paul is saying to Timothy, keep what you know and follow what you know, what you believe to be true, and follow this example and what I have followed. Basically, Paul is saying to Timothy, follow me. You, Timothy, you follow Paul. Because Paul will follow who? It's almost like a sound up here, but Paul followed Jesus Christ, didn't he? So Paul said, follow my examples. Look at all this list, the list that you should avoid, but here are the lists that you should follow and the kind of people that you, Timothy, should follow. And then he went down to the story of his experience of how Paul said, watch out if you don't do that. If you don't follow the godly leaders and godly people, you could be deceived. You could be tricked, and that there will be voices, different voices coming at you and trying to compete your body, your soul, your mind, and ultimately your life. And I'm not just talking about physical life, but your eternal life. And so Paul warned Timothy, it's important to follow godly leader. It's important to follow people, those follow Jesus Christ. But he said, watch out. Because there are people out there who are counterfeiting or are duplicating and just imposter, right? Whether it be distorting the truth or copying God's truth, and yet there's only partial truth, but they are using this for their own ideas or benefits or to advance their own self-exhaustions. But Paul said, there are people like that sins from the beginning. And he quoted two people. Who are the people that he quoted in this verse to watch out for? He said, you learn from Paul, you learn from his experience, and said, watch out, those who are in verse 13. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And he talked about two people who opposes Moses. Jenna and their two Jembery, right? Do you know who those two people were? They were magicians. They were miracle workers, hired by the Pharaohs and Egyptians. As Moses performed God's miracles, and these two magicians were copying and counterfeiting God's power. And Paul is saying, look, there are people like that in the Old Testament time. There are people like that today, in Paul's day, and there are people like that today. So men and women, if the Bible is the most important tool in our spiritual growth, that this is the book that we rely on to hear God's voice. See, this is where we hear God's voice, folks. Everything that we need to hear about God is in here. So anything that we hear in the world, all any other voices, have to be tested by what? By this. Any ideas, any theology, any doctrines, any philosophy, any way of living, any morality, anything has to be tested with this word, because God's truth and God's word is not contradictory. Is it the right word? God's truth, let me say this again, God's truth is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. God's truth never changes. And that's, I would say, God's truths, the great truths about righteousness, about holiness, about love, about forgiveness, about grace, about mercy, about power, or about love. It's always, always the same. It's like music. How many of you know and can read music? And you know, good. So praise team and choir, here's new members that you ought to recruit. All right? It's like music. Someone has said music when the key you give, key of, I believe there's a key of A in music, right? There's A key? Correct. Key of A was yesterday a key of A. And that key of A will be key of A today. And that key of A will still be key of A tomorrow. Does it change us? Yeah. Okay, wrong analogy. Thank you for that support there, John. Let me tweak that a little bit here. Yes, we may try to think that it changes. We may try to think that it changes by our experience about life, about our Christian experience, our traditions, the things that perhaps we read, the things that are being taught, that is not really about key of A. It can distract us from knowing the real key of A, but praise God for the praise team. Even though they know key of A, they can always be creative and talented to sing in any key that they want. Praise God for that, right? But in regards to the other side, it's about the Bible. Let's talk about the Bible. That I can't change the Holy Bible, the truth about God's, the timeless truth, just because I don't happen to like it, just because it doesn't feed my lifestyle, just because it doesn't agree with my philosophy, idea, or theology. I can't change God's truth. I want God's truth to change me. And that's why it's become, this is the most important tool for our spiritual growth. Without it, my friends, we can't clearly hear the voice of God. We can't know the will of God. We can't know His purpose, His ways, His truth, and ultimately, every possible thing we want to know about Jesus Christ, who's our Savior, who's our Lord, is written in this book. Paul is saying to Timothy, now that there will be voices in your head competing every day when you get up, whether when making decisions, whether facing difficulties and challenges and the unknown and hardships and persecutions, what did Paul say to find strength, to find hope in? He said, Remember the things you were taught since you were a baby, since infancy. The Holy Scriptures. His grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, taught this young disciple since he was a little baby about God's truth, God's timeless truth. The Holy Scriptures. Paul said to Timothy, remember those Holy Scriptures. Continue to learn and practice it. Follow those examples. Follow those teachings. Why? Because the Bible, the Word of God, both the Logos and the Rhema, that's the Greek words for word. Paul said in verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. The Word of God can make you wise because it has contained wisdom, right? And it's contained the message of salvation. And Paul said, Timothy, don't forget the Holy Scripture. Remember those. Why? Because all Scriptures, the Holy Bible, all 66 books, the Old Testament and New Testament. And here it is. Here the answer. All Scripture is what? God breathed. You know what that means? Let me look up my Greek here. It means that Theonoudos. Theonoudos, the Greek word. That means that God literally breathed out. You got the point? He breathed out all those words, and then who wrote it? Yeah, he used human authors like Moses, right? Like David. Like Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? The list goes on. God breathed his words. He breathed out. Literally speaking, God breathed out his holy words. And he inspired the human authors to write down what God wants them to write down. And so that all scriptures, verse 16, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, which is you and I, including Timothy, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Folks, God's holy word ought to be the one source that tells us how to live our life according to God's will. Not public opinions, not popular votes, not of newest human ideas, but the timeless of the great truths about God's principles. And how now shall we live our life, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior? Yes, we don't come to God by our works or how many times we attend churches or how many times we attend, read Bibles or how many praise songs and hymn songs we sing. Because we don't come to God by works, but we come to God by faith. But because we come to God by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, men and women, Paul is saying, live your life anew with the power that God has given you. That is the word of God. Jim was right. We don't live by bread alone. You and I live, because Jim didn't say it, Jesus said it, right? We live, all of us, but by the word of God. The Rhema, the word that is living in action. The power to transform lives. The power to forgive. The power to make all things new in Christ. Hear the good news, men and women. That power, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, that described in the Holy Bible, changed you and I. We became better because of the Word of God. That's why we're sitting here today. But Paul reminds all of us that, mind you, the last days are coming. Don't fall asleep. I mean, you can fall asleep if you want to today, but don't fall asleep in your walk with the Lord. Continue to believe what you believe to be the truth as taught by godly people like Lois and Eunice. Continue to learn the Word of God. Grow up and grow old into his holiness and his truth. And tune your heart to hear his voice, God's voice, every day. Because voices will be competing in your head, in your heart. How would you know that you make the right decision every single time, every single day? God said you can. Saturate your soul and your heart with the Word of God. Because you have the power within you that will tell you, that will nurture you, that will caution you whether you should, I mean, literally, the small things like, should you make a left turn or a right turn? Should you go to that market or this market? And to the bigger things like, should you buy this car or not buy this car? The list goes on, right? Should house, this spouse or not the spouse? I mean, I'm talking about bigger stuff in life. Through the necessity of life, relationship. But ultimately, the most important thing, my friends, are the matter of heavens. I preached this before. Our minds should be set on God, on things above. How should we know that? By daily reminder of His holy word. What matters most to us? The heavenly things could be known through His holy word. Men and women, let us be the people of the book. Let us be the church of the book. Let us be the family of the book. Not just any other book. The holy word of God. Especially this Lenten season. Let's bring the practice of reading scripture every day. Fasting and praying. Getting lost once again in God's wonders and His love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please stand and join us singing "These Are the Days of Elijah." Days of Elijah. If I